Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's Saturday. Shouldn't I be wonderful?
Yes, and it looks like, and I'm looking at the forecast, and after some of the rain and the storms that we saw yesterday morning, it looks like today is going to be one of the first days of some actual spring weather. It looks like it's going to stick around for several days. We'll be in the 70s. I've heard tomorrow might even be into the 80s, and so it looks nice for the foreseeable future.
I think that sounds very good. You know, I'm looking forward to 70 and 80. You know me. I love warm weather.
Yes. Well, you know, and, the other day, because it's been so up and down and cold and then warm and then cold, the other day when it was like, I don't know, it was like mid-60s, I was outside in the late afternoon, and I thought, my goodness, this just feels hot out here.
What's wrong with you?
I know. It's like before you know it, it's going to be like double that in the middle of summer. And I'm like, oh, boy, I better get used to this in a big hurry.
That's right, because it's coming, and I'm ready for it, you know. Yeah. I love the spring and summer, and it's still a little chilly for me. Now, this 70 and 80 week, this weekend will be great. But, you know, this week when it was 55.
Yes.
And a little, that cold wind it would hit. I thought that was a little much.
It was a little much. And it's not the temperature that's that makes it feel so cold. It's that wind, like you say. I mean, that'll make it feel, I'd say, probably 10, 15 degrees cooler than it actually is.
That's right. And I don't need any of that.
No.
I want it to be no wind and just nice and warm.
Well, if you want no wind, West Texas is not the place for you.
Well, some days it's okay, and some days it isn't. You know, a client told me the other day that before it rained, they had all the sand out there just blowing and blowing.
Oh.
You know, horrible deal. And I was asking her about it. She said on both sides of the highway, they had sand just piling up.
Wow.
Now, that's how out in the country how bad it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it'll pile up like a snowbank, except it's sand.
That's right. Can you imagine living where when the wind blows, the sand just blows all over everything you've got.
Oh, yes. And then it gets in your shoes, and you can go home, and you take them off, and you can actually dump out sand. I've done that before.
Yeah, I mean, the sand gets everywhere.
Yeah.
And when it's on your car, it's just gritty. It's hard to get it off.
Oh, yeah, it is. And you don't want to scratch it too much, or else, you know, all those little granulars will scratch your paint.
That's exactly right. That's why you want to go and have it done professionally, where they'll get that off and not be sitting there just rubbing the dirt and right into the paint job. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
Every time I wash after something like that, it's just a big smearing of dirt and swirls and circles everywhere.
I don't recommend that.
I don't either. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this whole conversation is about getting ready for retirement, and it's much easier than what people think, because I know people hear the word retirement, and they hear save for retirement. They say they hear grow your wealth for retirement, and there's something about those terms that just brings people down. They can be in a great mood, and then they think, oh, I got to save for retirement. Like it's this big, huge undertaking, and it's really not, because you're growing people's money in a way that it doesn't require a whole lot of effort. All you have to do is just get it started. From there, you pretty much take care of the rest. And then as far as like maintenance, they don't have to be up all night. They don't have to get up at midnight like they may be doing now if they're in Wall Street, in the stock market. They don't have to get up in the middle of the night wondering if their money is still there, if they've lost everything, or if their portfolio is still intact, because you have this wonderful opportunity for people to invest in life insurance policies.
That's right. And I talked to several gentlemen this week that came over for appointments, and they were telling me that they had lost like $100,000 this year.
Wow.
In the stock market. Yeah, that the stock market, you know, with ups and downs, and that this last one I think was $40,000 that their portfolio went down, and they're going, you know, we're getting ready to retire in 3 or 4 years, and you know, we don't need the up and down. We need it steady, just steady as you go. And so they said, we've been listening to you for years. We think it's time we took some action. And men, as we know, they procrastinate. They never get in a hurry. I don't know how they ever manage, because they're never in a hurry. You know, they just take life easy as it comes, and so they put it off till tomorrow, always.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the two gentlemen I'm thinking of that came this week, you know, had been listening to us for years. They'd been in the stock market, and, you know, they just wanted to get out, and they wanted to do something that would get them toward retirement a little bit safer and a lot faster.
You know, and so, when we talk about these things and how men tend to procrastinate, I always ask, you know, is there some kind of event where people, because you usually to make that kind of a drastic change in one's life, some trigger event has to happen. And I think this is what happens to a lot of people, is they're just chugging along, maybe in the stock market or even not doing anything at all, but they're not growing their money. They're not saving. They're not, you know, conserving their wealth. They're not doing things like that. They're just going along about their business, and then something happens like this, where people have lost, and $100,000 in 1 year, I don't know of the wealthiest person on earth. Nobody can stand to lose that money, and you say this all the time. You say, you know, how much can you stand to lose? That's how much you should put in the stock market, and you've got to go into it that way. And I hate to go into something like that, you know, with that kind of a negative attitude. But in reality, this is very much a possibility. Whatever you put in, you may lose, and with a life settlement, you're not going to have that problem.
No, because it's a life insurance policy. You know what you're going to make going in. You know how much principal you've got in it. And they're going to pay you. That life insurance company is going to pay you when that person passes away. You know, it's a foregone conclusion. If you're going to make 24%, that's what you'll get. They're not going to ask you to take less on that life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. So if it's 24% going in, it'll be 24% going out. It doesn't matter if it comes in early, it'll be 24. If it comes in on time, it's 24. Or if it's late, it's still going to pay you the same amount of money. And someone asked a good question this week that I didn't know they were confused about. One of the gentlemen thought you had to put $100,000 in every policy. He didn't realize that to start with, you have to come with at least $100,000. But you don't have to put $100,000 in every policy. That's what he thought. He thought he had to have enough that if he wanted to buy five policies, he had to put $500,000 in to cover it. And I said, no. You have to start with $100,000, whether we're putting $50,000 in a policy or $100,000. Doesn't make any difference. So I don't want anyone to be confused about that.
You know, and that's probably something that we haven't laid out very well going along is that, yeah, we do say, yes, the minimum is $100,000, but you're right. I mean, as long as you walk in the door for the first time with that amount, there is a number of different policies, there's a number of different trajectories, there's a number of different options that you can put people in, and that's just the starting point. From there, it really kind of depends on the person, the policy. You know, what do you think is best? You know, where are they starting? Where do they need to be, and how fast do they have to get there? And that's how you customize the plan for each individual person that comes in to see you.
That's right. And I had another person this week say, I want to start taking $100,000 a year. So I'm serious when I say a lot of these people, they don't want $50,000 a year. They want to take out $100,000 a year. So we have to start putting that money back and keep enough interest that we can pay off $100,000 every year in interest.
Wow.
And you have to have a lot of money to be able to do that.
You really do. I mean, the last thing you want to do is you want to go into retirement and start making cutbacks. And if people are, you know, planning retirement and say, well, I think I'd maybe get by if, you know, we stop eating steak every day and we eat ramen noodles every night for like 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not the approach you want to have.
Well, that's back like when they were in college.
Yeah. It was
ramen noodles. Oh, my.
Yeah. Now, there's anything wrong with that, but, I mean, you don't want to be doing things like that. But on the other hand, you don't want to be going out for, you know, a couple $100 steak dinner every night either. Someplace in the middle is that happy ground. And so retirement doesn't have to be, you know, all cutbacks and all, you know, what can we barely get by on? It's you want to go into retirement in a place where you can at least maintain where your lifestyle is while you're working. If you've done this right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume you've had some clients that have actually done the work ahead of time. They've been responsible about growing their wealth, and then they get to retirement and they start living better than when they were in their working days. Is that accurate for some people?
I have a few people who've done that. Instead of taking maybe $40,000, they're now taking $60,000 or $80,000, you know, because they know the money's there and they get jacked up and decide they want to spend more. But at some point, you know, they need to say, okay, remember how many years at $50,000 and how many years at $75,000 this will last, you know, and we've got to keep the interest in there to do that.
Yeah.
We've got to keep enough interest to pay them $50,000 or $75,000 every year. So you can't ever let your money just sit there. If you're going to need it, you've got to make enough interest every year to make this work.
And the other thing that people, I don't know if they necessarily think about, because a lot of times we focus on getting to retirement. You know, make sure you start while you're working, start growing your money, start getting in these investments so that when you retire, the money's there. And then sometimes that's where the planning, in as far as, you know, in people's mind goes, that's where the planning stops. But in reality, like you say, you've got to keep that interest making some money. You've got to keep it working. You've got to keep growing your money. And so what happens after retirement is you've got people, by the time they walk out of their job for the last time and on their first day of retirement, they're still growing money because the safety of that day-to-day paycheck is gone. And so they still have to keep money coming in. You don't want to go into retirement and all of a sudden start hemorrhaging money and just start losing like crazy, because you'll go through that, you know, in no time. And, you know, if you go in if you go 20 years into retirement, you may run out of money after 10. So that's why you've got to keep your money growing. And that's exactly what you do. The safest way to do it is with these types of life settlements.
That's right. And we, you know, we're going to roll it every year and just keep rolling it over. Roll that interest back into a policy where you'll have more money when you get ready to retire. Because, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get that interest up for them, because we have to wait till some policies mature. And once they mature, if they say, this year I need $100,000, then we've got to keep out $100,000 and invest the rest. And just because you retire, you're not going to quit eating. You're not going to quit paying your bills, so you're going to need interest every year till the day you die.
Sure. And the other thing that people need to think about is also, after you retire, there may be other things that you're not planning for. There could be emergencies, there could be illness, there could be sickness, there could be, you know, who knows what. But you've got to have some money set aside and grown for those types of unexpected expenses as well.
I keep telling people every day, you must have emergency money. If you don't, we're not going to do a deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have $50,000 to $100,000 set back just for emergencies. Now, you can have less if you've got, like, group health insurance. Well, then I don't think you need a big emergency pot. But let's say you have no insurance. The group insurance has ran out. I know stories that will make you cry, where the people went to the hospital, the bill for 2 weeks is $200,000.
Wow.
Yes, big money.
So
if you don't have group insurance, you better have some insurance of some kind.
So people are, I'm sure, as they're listening to this, they're starting to do some informal, you know, tallies in their head. They're running some rough numbers in their head. They're saying, okay, well, I've got this, I've gone over this, and I've got, and they're thinking to themselves, my goodness, I want to retire in 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years, or whatever it is. And they all of a sudden find themselves now at the bottom of a huge mountain, and they're staring up at the top of Mount Everest saying, there is no way on God's green earth that I'm ever going to make enough money and grow enough money to be able to afford all this, you know, between the emergency money, between, you know, the health care that may come up, between, you know, the base number that needs to be in the bank, bottom line, the day I retire, and then still have enough to grow, and then still have enough to invest, and then still have enough set aside, and then still have enough to live off of every day. I'm sure people are running the numbers in their head right now, and they're thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm just getting buried alive right now, and all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, people have gone from a somewhat optimistic outlook to all of a sudden, there's no way I can do this. So what do you say to that person right now who's thinking those thoughts?
If they have at least 100,000, maybe 150, you know, we would get on and get to making them some money. It works best when they've got 250,000 to 300,000 to start with. Then if we get it up to 1 million, we know they're going to make it. And some people are going to need 2 million. But I can tell you, you cannot retire on $150,000. If you can do it, you've got me beat because I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, my spending habits would never allow that. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, it takes a lot of money to keep Faye Bagby up, I'll just tell you. So I know I couldn't do it, and I don't expect other people to be able to do it. A husband and wife need more money than a single person, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, two people probably need $75,000 to $100,000 a year.
Okay.
And You can't spend more than you're taking in.
Okay.
You know, it just doesn't work that way. If you start taking money out of the principal that you've got, your money isn't going to last. If you're taking it out of the interest, it will last, and you'll do good. You've just got to keep rolling it to keep your interest up for that. Whatever you agreed on to start with is going to work out that way.
So as we start to move the needle back from sheer impossibility over to, yes, this can be done, how would you explain in simple terms how you're going to get there? Because people are saying to themselves right now, they're saying, okay, well, you say this can be done, but, you know, I may be 50. I may be wanting to retire in 10 or 12 years. How am I going to go from, say, and this is just ballpark figures, say, $200,000 in the bank right now. How am I going to take that to $1 million in 10 years?
Okay. You've got to remember it's going to take 6 years to double your money. So if you want to double it twice, it's going to take 12 years. So if you've got 200, it'll be 400 in six. Then another six, it'll be at eight.
Okay.
So that's close. It's not a million, but it's close. Because remember, the way this investment works, let's say you've got a policy that's going to mature in 24 months. Well, it's going to pay 24%. So if you've got $100,000, every time you have a $100,000 policy and it makes 24%, that's $24,000.
Okay.
So if you've got five of those, you can see how that would work.
Okay. So as we break this down into smaller chunks, it becomes much more attainable. And so when people say, okay, I've got a 24-month policy here, it comes due in 24 months, we'll say that's $24,000 profit. We turn around, we reinvest that, and then the idea is people are diversified, so they're in more than one policy, and so then there's always, you know, policies that are coming due. There's always people getting paid. There's always money that's rolling over into a new investment, and it's easy to see fairly quickly how this just kind of, it's almost like a snowball effect that people, just little chunks at a time, you're growing your money. Now, this is all set aside. This is not money that people are counting on to live on, because to do the life settlement program, you've got to be accredited. We'll get to that here in just a second. But this is not money that people are counting on to live by. So they're not saying, oh, geez, you know, I've got to have, you know, this money and I've got to have it back in 6 months because I'm going to run out, or, you know, I need to buy a new truck, or, you know, I need to buy a house, or whatever the case may be. This is money that is set aside specifically just for investing. And that's how the whole process works, is you've got to be accredited. And so even to be involved in the life settlement program, what are the requirements?
Well, and first of all, that's right. If you're going to need this money back in 6 months, don't even talk to me about it. Mm-hmm. This is long term. It's not a 6 month or a 3 month program. If it was, it'd be we'd have to do something different to make it work. So when people come to us, first of all, you're going to have to be accredited. You have to either make $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million without your house. So once we've got past that obstacle, we know that they're not going to need this right away. We know that this is money they're going to live on after they retire. And most of them in retirement is 3 to 10 years away. So we know we've got time, to make up the money that they're going to need. Because they're going to be diversified. You have to be diversified. You can't come in and just buy one policy. It doesn't work that way. You've got to have 4, 5, or 6 policies where some of them will come in early, which will help a lot. Some of them will come on time, and then there'll be some that'll be late. But it'll all work out in the end. It always does. So that's why we say you must be diversified to make the numbers work. And then you've got to start out with at least $100,000. If you don't have $100,000, this program won't work for you. It means you're not ready for this type of investment. You need to do something else.
And so that's really a good point, is that this is not just a one-and-done type of thing. This is a plan. This is a strategy that you put people on to get ready for retirement. And this is for people who are serious. I know there's some people who say they're serious and they want to, oh, yes, I really need to go do something. I really need to get started. I really need to start thinking about retirement seriously. But they really don't mean it because they're in that mindset, and there's nothing wrong with this, I suppose, but they're in that mindset still where they really just want to go out and have a good time. They want to enjoy their money. They want to travel or buy the biggest house they can find or buy the biggest truck they can find. Or they're still in that quote-unquote play mode. And so they're not actually serious about retirement. A lot of people, in talking to a couple people this week, it seems like a lot of people have that mindset of, though, well, retirement is a ways away. I don't have to worry about that right now. I'm not going to retire for another 15 years. Or some even go to the other extreme and have this outlook for some reason as though they're going to have to just work until their fingers fall off and they tip over. And that's not true either. And so the point of all of this is when somebody is actually serious and they really want to go ahead and get started, that's the time to do this. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of discipline. It's not like when somebody starts the program that they're going to have to all of a sudden do without and like we said earlier, go on the ramen noodles or the rice diet. This is money that is set aside just for this. And the way the program works, like you say, you're diversified. You start as early as possible. You want to have several years to do this, not just a one and done type of thing. So for somebody who's kind of weighing where they are in that span right now, what would you say would be either an average time age wise where people start something like this, and what might be too late?
Well, to me, 45 is the perfect time. If you're 40 to 45 years old, you need to be thinking about this. Think about how much would you like to have comfortably when you retire. If you start at 40, 45, it's easy. It's like a cakewalk. You can do it in a rocking chair. I mean, it's so easy. If you wait and you're 60 years old, you're behind the eight ball. You say, I'm going to retire in 5 years. Well, then you have to really put your money to work, and you've got to do it hard. But remember, if you start out at 40 or 45, you get used to investing. It's an easy thing because you're going to just do it automatically. And you're going to say, I need to do this. This is how much money I want to retire with. This is how much I need to put up. Let's say they're self-employed. They need to take $100,000 or $150,000 and get started, maybe $250,000, and it will really help. And it's not like in the stock market we're not going to have the risk. I think we have a little bit more rewards doing this because you know what you're going to make. So, I would say the quicker you get started, the best it is. Now you say, how is it too late? If you're just now starting, you don't want to start at 75.
Yeah.
I'd say it's too late.
Now
if you just want to make an investment at 75, that's fine. But if you come in and tell me I need to be worth $1 million in 4 years and you're 75, it probably isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So the quicker you start, the better it works. And just get used to investing your money and making money and rolling it over. Because remember, if it's an IRA, you can't use it right now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be fully invested. And everybody needs some type of IRA or some investment vehicle. And different people want a different kind.
So for somebody who is in their, say, early to mid-40s, like you say, that's an ideal time. You do it very, very comfortably. Like you said, you can do it in a rocking chair. That's the ideal time to start. But if you're in your upper 40s or even 50s, that's still doable. You just may need to be on a slightly more aggressive plan. And so what this is all about investing in a life insurance policy. And the wonderful thing about this is, and we kind of got in this a little bit earlier, is that it's not like the stock market. It's not like, okay, I'm 5 years away from retirement. I'm 10 years away from retirement. I need to start, you know, getting a little bit more conservative with my investments, because the last thing you want to have happen is been building your wealth for years and years, and then all of a sudden get close to retirement. Something happens on Wall Street, you're completely wiped out, and you have to start over. That's not going to happen with a life settlement. There are three risks that you need to be involved with, but when you compare the risks of being on Wall Street as opposed to a life settlement, they're really, and I hate to say this, but because you're so transparent about this, you know, you let everybody know, but it's almost like the risks are so small, relatively speaking, but you do go ahead and tell people anyway.
Well, there is risk. When you get up in the morning, there's risk. And there's risk in this. Your biggest risk is going to go over. Now, if you can't pay the premium, if it goes over a year or 2 years, it's not for you. But we tell you what the premium is on every policy we do. In fact, we were closing a policy this week. I was going to put everybody in it $100,000 because I knew it would be a good return for them. And then I discovered the premium was high. And we never have a high premium. Well, it was higher than I wanted it to be. And I backed it off and said, nobody can put in 100. Everybody can only put in $50,000 to $40,000. And I stood on it. And one guy called. He said, I really wanted to put 100. I said, nope. Premiums are too high. We can't let you do it. And so we're not going to let them do it. If the premium's too high, we're going to back them off. And we're going to make them take a smaller investment in the policy,
so that it doesn't eat into their profits.
That's right. And so we did not want it to be over $1,700 if it went over. Now, we had one last year that the premium was high. Everybody knew it going in, but they loved the policy and they didn't care. In fact, a lot of my big customers said it doesn't matter. So I said, okay, we're going to do it. We did it. It came in early. They never paid a dime. But there's always that risk. It won't come in early, and you might have to pay premiums. Mm-hmm. So we did not want that to happen. So, you know, we just backed it off and said, you can't put the $50,000 in.
Cool.
And we're gonna protect them that way. We're not going to let them put in 100 when I know what the premium is. So that's another thing that we do to protect them.
And all this is because you're running these numbers. You know, as you're looking at the policies, you're even back to the stage where you're debating on whether or not it's worth bidding on. You're looking at these numbers. You're running the numbers ahead of time to see, is this going to be profitable? If this happens, what would happen? If this happens, what would happen? You're running all these different scenarios to make sure that the investment itself is profitable. And so that starts long before anybody even gets involved in this thing. This is back before you're even, you know, looking into bidding on these things. So the process of starting somebody's, safety net for if different scenarios happens, you're working on that long ahead of the time. So that's the first risk, is it could go over. And there's two other risks as well.
That's right. The other risk is it's not liquid during that time. So you've got a year and a half, maybe 2 years, two and a half, that it's not liquid. You couldn't get your money out of that policy. But all of our credit investors can stand that risk. They know it's going to be 2 years, 3 years. But it's an IRA, so it does not matter. Even if it's a custodial account, you have other monies, you have other emergency money, so it doesn't count. It'll be all right. And that's the kind of investor we have to have. Now, we still have some investors that are non-accredited. Well, a non-accredited investor, the risk is greater for them because they don't have as much as the other people. They don't have the net worth. So we have to be a lot more careful if they're non-accredited. We don't have very many, but we do have a few non-accredited people. And this was before the law changed and said you must have accredited people. Now everybody we do is accredited. They must be in order to do this program. So like you said, if it goes over, and it's not liquid, they can stand it. They know that can happen. They know it might be an extra 5 months or an extra 6 months, okay? So they're prepared for that. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went broke, and we have never had one in Texas go broke. They've always paid their claims. And what I love about this, I guess the best thing about this, we know what you're going to make going in. It's not going to be a surprise, or we're not going to guess at it.
Yeah,
I mean, it used to be on page 14. Now it's at the back of the policy. But it tells you what you're going to make, what the percentage is, what the life insurance company is, what their rating is, and if it goes over, what it will cost you. You know, all that before you ever do anything.
You know, and I think one of the wonderful things about this is, while we're talking about risks, one of the greatest positives about a life settlement, I would say probably the greatest risk is a non-risk, because one thing that people never have to worry about is the value of this going down. People never have to worry about anything in the world, because we all know how much the stock market is. It's a fragile environment. Anything can affect it. You know, something could happen overseas, completely unrelated to your investment. And if you're in Wall Street, it could go down overnight, and you could lose literally everything. But with a life settlement, that's one of the risks that just isn't even in the picture. It's not even possible.
That's exactly right. It's, you know what you're going to make, and that's how much you're going to get. It's just simple. It's not like the stock market where if anything goes wrong, it goes down. Like, you know, on Friday, the stock market went down real early, and it had been up the day before. And this can happen every day on the stock market. We don't know what days it'll be up. You may get ready to retire that day, and you say, oh, we can't retire. The stock market went down. So you have to have that certainty on your investments. And that's what this will bring to it. You know how much you're going to get. You know what you're going to make. You're just not real sure of the exact date you'll make it.
It's just really a question of patience, really. You basically set it, forget it, and just wait for the policy to mature, and then you get paid.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And you always get what they say you're going to get.
It really couldn't be any more straightforward and more informed than that right there. I mean, it's pretty simple. A lot of people, they go into this and they say, well, there's got to be something more. What's the other shoe? What's the bad news? Well, we've already gone over the bad news, and it's really not bad. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity. I think, you know, when people go from Wall Street and they see what their anxiety is like, they see what their nerves is like, they see how they're always watching the ticker, they're always watching, you know, their portfolio to see if they've still got anything, if they can even retire, or if all of a sudden at age 57 or 60 they have to start all over and start saving for retirement. I think when people realize that all that is gone on with a life settlement, I think they're just like, it puts people at ease, and then it makes, you know, the second, third, fourth, and so on, those other investments, it makes them all much easier.
That's right. And you know what I like? I look at what people have made. I looked at one guy's portfolio yesterday. He's had 5 policies come due. I mean, you know, if it just keeps going like that, and you keep going, you're going to make the money you need.
Yeah.
But the people that have invested for a long time and they say, I'm not going to put any more money in. Okay, that money's just sitting there in cash. It is not making you one dime, as far as I can tell. You know? But if you put it in policies, the numbers will work. That's the way it's been made to work out. If you got some that are late, they'll come due. The next group may all be early. You never know. We've had so many come in early since the first of the year. You know, we had $9 million mature in December. And since then, just in the last week, I think we had 4 last week. And I forgot to get the names where I could give you the names this morning. But I believe we had 4 this week.
You know, and that's the thing. If people's money isn't making money, then it's almost losing money, you know? And so if it's just sitting in the bank, I mean, yeah, it's sitting there. You're not spending it, I guess. But, you know, there's no reason why you would ever just leave it there. I mean, it's not like you have to do anything to grow your money. It's not like, well, if I put it in a policy, then I've got to go out and paint something or build something or dig a ditch or anything like that. No, all it is a matter of clicking a button, signing something and saying, yeah, put it in a policy. Just let it grow. It's literally literally that easy. And people just have to get started. And once they do, I think they'll find that the whole process, it's worry-free, it's effortless. It just doesn't get any easier than that. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring fun, interesting things to the table. So what's the topic on hand this morning?
It's a small park in Texas. It's interesting, interesting, interesting. It's called Palmera State Park. This little park is only 270 acres, small,
really? Wow.
By the size of our parks in Texas. But it's unique in every way. It's got lagoons. It's got the mystic proprieties. It's got all kinds of trails and trails throughout. This little park has got everything. This is a perfect place to take your wife for a weekend, go through this park, enjoy it. People have children. For school children, it's just a perfect little park. You can imagine all things as you go through it. It's all kind of misty. It's kind of shady in there. I just love the whole thing. I really do. This park was started in 1936, I believe, way, way back.
Wow.
And it's got everything. When you go through all these little trails, you're going to see every kind of bird. They have 240 species of birds in there.
Really?
Uh-huh. Now, this is between Luling and Gonzales, way down there.
Okay.
It also has the wetlands, which is really, really unusual in this part of Texas. You never see wetlands out here in West Texas, as you know.
Yeah.
It's called Alpine Wetlands, and it's named for Adolf Otto and his wife. They were in the 1800s, they founded this little village out there, which is now a wetlands. They think this land and this park is 12,000 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. This is an old, old place. Has its own ecosystem. It's just a marvelous place.
12,000 years old. That's incredible.
Yeah. And this is a combination of the flooding of the San Marcos River every once in a while, which really helps it. It's got artesian springs in it. It's got all this bogs in it. It's got mud bogs. I don't know if you've ever seen a mud bog.
Oh,
it does have them. It's got a mix of flora, fauna. It's got dwarf palmetto trees. It's got mesquite trees. It's got white-tailed deer. It's got swamp rabbits. Red-shouldered hawks, warblers. I mean, this has got everything. You may see red-tailed hawks in there.
Really?
I mean, it's got, oh my gosh, yes. It's got cardinals. It's got woodpeckers. This is a place that everybody needs to go and visit. And sometimes the birds are hiding. You have to really watch for them. But sometimes they're out in the open. They have timber rattlesnakes there. Oh, me. But the woodpeckers are worth it. The cardinals are worth it. Forget about the snakes. Just keep walking.
I'm not sure that's a great thing, but okay.
It is. I mean, they're on the ground.
Sure.
Most of the time. And they have a few vultures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, we even have vultures. Now, they've got frogs and turtles. They have otters. This is a fabulous place.
You know, it's almost starting to sound like the wide variety of cultures, like nature cultures, it almost sounds like if one was to put together some kind of a display at some kind of a nature center or some kind of a academic facility and put little samples of many different types of environments into one place, it almost sounds like that's like literally what this is, but naturally. It's not like a man-made type of thing.
No, it's so natural you won't believe. Now, the other thing is it even has bluebonnets and yellow irises out there.
Really?
Yes. It's just hard to believe.
This just sounds like, I mean, if you wanted to experience a little bit of everything, this is the place to go.
It is. It has elms. It has ash. There's mesquites on top. And remember, the palmettos are on the bottom at all times. There's Spanish moss out there and winding among the trees. And it's just, you know, there's so many things for a person to visit.
And you say it's a small little park, right?
It's small, 270 acres, opened in 1936.
It's amazing from what it sounds like how they can, because you would think with all these different things you're describing, you would think this would have to be a massive spread to fit all these things in. So to get all these different varieties of species and plant life and nature elements in a small place, it sounds like it's just fascinating.
I think it is. And I think you can go and just spend hours there. Now, this thing flooded back in 1998.
Really?
And the one building they've got there that was built by the Corps in 1934 to 1937, it was up to the roof.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one time it's flooded that bad.
Wow, that's massive. That was 1998,
yeah.
You said?
Yeah, in 1998. But it's got its own water tower. It's powered by a hydraulic pump there. It's not working right now, but it has been all this time. Now then, they've got a playground there, and now you got to hear this. They have one rentable cabin in this whole place.
One cabin.
One cabin. Oh, my gosh. But you've got the mud bogs that bubble up. There's just so much stuff there to see. It's just, you know, and it's murky. You can think all kinds of things when you're in that murky lagoon, you know, all the swamp-type things. It's just a wonderful, different type of place to visit.
It sounds like it's absolutely amazing.
It is amazing.
To rent that cabin for a couple nights, that sounds like it would be fascinating, not only because of all the nature and all the things around it and everything it's right in the middle of, but also because I would imagine it would be so so secluded, you'd probably be able to hear every little creature that's out there. And we all know what it's like when you get out in the country and you get on a nice, quiet spring or summer evening. We all know how peaceful that can be, and it just sounds like it might be borderline paradise out here.
Well, I think it is, because anybody that loves nature, they're going to love going through this, spending a lot of time looking in the trees, looking in the bushes for all the birds and every kind of thing, the otters that are down there. I mean, everything. They've got everything you could ever want, including a few snakes. And, I mean, that makes it interesting. You got to watch where you step.
Yeah, it makes it interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, you can just go out there and walk and look and really enjoy yourself. And be sure and take a picnic. I mean, you know, I think it's worth going. I really do. I think it's one of my favorite places. And I would not have the nerve to spend the night out there because it is going to be lonely. It's going to be secluded, you know. And But most people would do that in a heartbeat. You know, it wouldn't scare them at all.
Oh, yeah. It kind of sounds nice to me to have a little quiet time. A little seclusion would be nice for at least a few days to kind of get away from, you know, all the busyness that we all get involved in, the day-to-day life, and just kind of get back to nature and just kind of chill out for a little bit. It sounds like it'd be really ideal for anybody that just wants to unwind and chill out for a while.
That's right. Anybody wants to take pictures? I mean, I think even though there's moss and it's, you know, the lagoons are shady and all this, I think you could get a lot of good pictures, too. And there's so many different kinds of birds, 240 species.
That's incredible. I can't even begin to name any of them.
I can't either. There's too many. There's so many. Of course, the cardinals are beautiful. Cardinals are one of my favorite birds.
Oh, yeah.
I love cardinals. I love woodpeckers.
Yeah.
You know? And then all the vegetation is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The palmetto trees are gorgeous. They've got dwarf woods in there. They've just got every kind of vine in the world. And then, of course, they've got every kind of animal in there.
And this is down south, you said, right?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Between Luling and Gonzales.
Palmera State Park?
Palmera State Park. I recommend it highly.
Well, then that's something that's definitely going on the list for either spring or summertime this year, because it just sounds like something that's ideal for just about anybody that likes anything to do with nature whatsoever.
That's right. It's a great nature park. It's a small park where you can really enjoy it. And I want to remind people again, in Waxahachie, that million of tulips are blooming. They just started this week. It started on the 18th. It opened on the 18th. So anybody that wants to go to those million tulips that are so fabulously beautiful, I recommend that. They'll be blooming the next month.
Yeah.
Into about end of April. So I recommend that for a weekend trip. And Waxahachie is a neat, neat town. So it's a good place to go. I don't think it's too far for anybody to go.
Yeah, definitely a lot of things to do, especially as we start getting into the warm weather. This is when things really start to get cranked up. Like you say, this is when things start to bloom. And then we get into summer and state fair times and all kinds of festivals. And, oh, my goodness, we're just headed into a really, really wonderful time of year, especially for, people here in Texas, because, there's so many places to go and so many things to do. And so this is really just the beginning of the iceberg. So thanks for the tips. These are really fantastic. Fantastic. These are going on the list.
And well, let me mention one other thing. We talked about St. Patrick's Parade the other day and all the things that it means and everything. And then, I have the picture of my grandson, who's 3 years old, riding a longhorn steer in Fort Worth. And the steer is the most marvelous thing I ever saw. This longhorn has got his green hat on for St. Patrick's. He's got his toenails painted green, folks. This is Texas style, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you, you emailed me those pictures this week, and I opened that, and I said, my God, I've never seen anything like that before. Only in Texas. And boy, that just looked like so much fun.
Only in Texas would they paint the toenails of a longhorn steer.
I know.
I'll never get over it. I mean, I go, here we were talking about St. Patrick's. I said, when St. Patrick's Day comes to Texas, anything's possible.
Boy, even just standard holidays are even better here in Texas than they are in other places, because things happen here that you'll never see in any other state. That's guaranteed.
That's right. And people, we have things no one else has. And, every month of the year, there's something happening in every town in Texas.
Yeah.
They have every kind of celebration. I mean, you have so much fun in Texas in the summertime. It's just an amazing place for people to go.
I know.
I don't know why everybody hasn't visited everything in Texas. I'd like to see someone try to do every deal we have in Texas one time.
You could write a book about all the things that are going on in all these little places, because a lot of them are off the path. My wife and I love to go to San Antonio, and every time we get a chance to get away, we go over there. I love to see all the architecture and all the history, but you've got so many other things that are going on. This is like, I don't know if we had an entire lifetime, I don't know if we could hit all these things. So you really need to write a book about some of the hotspot destinations, and not just the big cities, but these little small towns, these off-the-beaten-path locations and things to do with these destinations. You really should put something like that together.
Well, I love Texas history. Everybody knows I'm a history buff. And, I'm always telling somebody another place they could visit, another thing they haven't seen.
Yeah.
Because Texans just haven't gotten out and seen all the things we have to offer.
Yeah, exactly. And there is so much to offer. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, we talked about other options for people who are not accredited for the Life Settlement Program. And so, yes, it's great. A lot of people get in this program. But, for somebody who does not meet the qualifications, who is not accredited and can't do the Life Settlement, what other options does somebody like that have?
Well, we have several annuity companies, large, large companies. I guess sometimes I don't explain it as much as I should, but annuity, the principal is guaranteed from the time you put it in to the time you take it out. It's guaranteed by the assets of that life insurance company. So that's why I always say, ours are worth $58 billion to $150 billion. So it's always an A to an A-rated company. They pay good interest. It mocks the stock market. Your money is never in the stock market, but it has some unusual. It has bond funds. It has a Dow. It has an S&P 500. And if those things go up during the year, you make money. You know, if it don't, you don't lose any money. It's not like being in the stock market. Your money is safe at all times, 100% safe. That's what I like. And then for retirement, you can start taking money out after the first year if you need to, every year for the rest of your life.
So
there's even a rider you could buy that, like, if it ran out of money, it would continue paying you for the rest of your life if you've got that rider on it.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the other thing one of them has got, it's got a deal on there. After 3 years, if you're unhappy, you can take all your money out without a penalty.
No penalties, really?
No penalty.
Huh.
Right.
Well,
and they have 7 year, they have 10 year, they have all types of different things. The annuities that we write have always made money. I tell the story, I have a lady, 15 years ago, I guess it is now, she put her money with me. I looked at her account the other day. Her principal is still there. She's made enough money to take just the interest out all these years.
Really? Now that's ideal.
It is. I've got several people that in 10 years it doubled their money.
Really?
Not all of them, but I've got several that did.
Well, see, now, I mean, this
and
is the kind of...
which company it was with.
These are the things that we need to know. I mean, yeah, clearly, you know, most of us don't have the financial planning brain that you have. And so to offer these, I mean, you've even dropped some information on me today that I didn't even know. And we've been talking about this for, you know, a couple of years. And so I didn't realize that. I didn't realize, you know, you could do these things and some of them have no penalties. That's good to know. Is it feasible to say that for somebody who's not accredited for the life settlement, would it be a feasible plan, generically speaking, to do something like this, grow your wealth, get to where you are accredited, and then hop over onto a life settlement? Is that reasonable?
Yes, I think so. But they need to have at least $50,000. And if they're going to need it back in 6 months, don't even bother.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it. Because it's a long term. It's a 7 or 10 year plan. And the other thing is, you can get a bonus going in. They all have bonuses at 2%, 5%, some of them even more than that, depending which company you go with. But lots of times they will give you a bonus up to 10%.
Wow.
Going in. And then another thing, if you take lifetime income, when you start lifetime income, some of them will give you an extra 4%.
Really?
When you start lifetime income.
So there's a number of ways that people can make some money here.
There's a lot of ways with an annuity you probably haven't even thought of.
Wow. And so
yeah.
I guess the takeaway here is that no matter what stage you're in, don't give up on retirement. Don't give up on growing your wealth. There's always ways to do things and make some more money and get to other stages. Then you get to other stages, you grow your money there and get to, you know, advance on to the next phase. You know, so this is a continuous process. The thing is you don't want to wait until you're 65 to get started. The point is to take advantage of these different things and grow your wealth. You've got to start someplace. And so for somebody who is just starting out, maybe they're maybe in their early 40s, we'll say, give or take, what are a few things, because I know you don't want to go into retirement with debt, but what are a few things that somebody should do if they're on the very, very, very beginning phases of planning for retirement? What should people be doing before they get started?
I would get out of debt. In other words, I would say, you know, I've been doing all these things and just running up debt, and that's not right. Let's pare that debt down, you know. Let's try to get it down and then start investing hard.
Okay.
And you make it, and you don't even notice it once you say, okay, here's $100,000, here's $150,000, and it's got to be money that is ready to be invested. It can't be the last money you have on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were not going to do it.
Because I know a lot of people, you know, are looking at the economy right now, and it's very, very good, especially out here in West Texas. You know, wages are up, bonuses are being paid, things are happening. There are opportunities to make a lot of money. And I know a lot of the big money comes from the oil field. And I know I've heard from a couple people, it's really started to kind of come to the forefront of my mind in the last couple of weeks that there's a number of people who are not in the oil field. They have, you know, regular, you know, Monday through Friday, 9 to 9-to-5 types of jobs who may not necessarily have access to some of that oil money. They're just, you know, going about their regular job. So for somebody like that, what would you say might be a way to start building up a little bit extra, to get a little bit of extra money going, just to kind of, I guess, prime the pump and get to where they need to be? Is maybe a
they're going to have to start with an annuity if they're not accredited.
Okay.
And if they're not in the oil business where they're making that large money right now. But I can tell you this, there's people that were working at hotels, you know, probably $15 an hour, are now out in the oil field driving water trucks. Go, women.
Yeah.
When I heard about that, I go, holy cow, love it. But that shows, you know, they're thinking. Mm-hmm. They're saying, well, if a man can do that, can't I? I wouldn't have thought the oil companies would have hired him. And I am really impressed that oil companies let them do it.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would. I thought they'd say, we're not having women out here doing that.
Yep.
But apparently they don't think like that, and that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Everybody has a chance to make money, especially right now, if they want to. Even if you had to go do, you know, a little something extra on the side, maybe on the weekends or whatever the case may be, it doesn't take much with this economy in West Texas right now. It doesn't take much to get to the point where you have to be to get started. And so this is a process. I mean, planning for retirement is not just something that anybody does, you know, in 2 or 3 years, at least for the most part. Most people plan this out. Most people are on a multi-year trajectory. So no matter where you are on this timeline, there are opportunities to make some money. There are opportunities to start building your wealth. Ultimately, and I know we focus a lot on these life settlements and getting into life insurance policies and things like that. And so that's really, it really just kind of depends on where somebody is. But when they come see you, you'll do all this hard work for them. You'll run the numbers. You'll plan the whole thing out. You'll get the trajectory set to where it needs to be. You'll understand where they are now, what they've got to work with, how long until they want to retire, how much do they need to build. You'll take care of all that. So if people are intimidated by running the numbers, they say, I just don't know a lot about financial planning and things like that. It's just not my thing. It's boring. It's cumbersome. All they have to do is come see you, and you will take care of the rest.
That's exactly right. But remember, if you're not doing anything for retirement, it's going to be a big shock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're doing for retirement, you're going to be in great shape. You're going to love your life. You're going to love retiring. Your wife's going to love you. I mean, you know, there's some things in life that are really important. I mean, you don't want to end up with a divorce at 60 years old, you know.
We've seen it happen. We joke, but it has happened, and we've seen it.
It has happened. We've seen it. People come to me sometimes, and the wife got all of the IRA, and they're having to start over.
Yep.
We never talk about that, starting over on a new IRA at 50 years old.
Not cool for anybody.
It's not cool, but I've got some people that it's happened to, and they thought they were in good shape financially, and they came to me and said, my wife is divorcing me. She's going to take half of this IRA. And you go, oh, my goodness,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
so then we're starting to build all over again. So it's going to take years, you know, 7 or 8 years to get them back where they were.
Yeah.
I have a doctor that came to me. He'd gotten a divorce. And his was way down. And we're building it back slowly. And I think we're doing a good job.
And it can be done. But people just have to come see you. They have to get started. And so, and I assume you have appointments available this coming week, right?
I do, and we'll be seeing people. We'll be talking about their future, trying to help them get money transferred, and getting them diversified.
Great. So, Faye, one last time for people to call you and make an appointment to come see you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage, my favorite store.